Good morning. My name is Jim Miller. Our reading this morning comes from Luke 2, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas. And no, that's not incorrect. Yes, the packages have all been opened. The wrapping paper is maybe cleaned up and picked up and stuffed in the garbage can. The stockings are unstuffed, but Christmas is just beginning. We have been studying throughout this Advent season the Christian New Year. And our New Year began on November the 28th, that first Sunday in Advent. And we are now into the next season of our year, and that is Christmas. And did you know that Christmas lasts for 12 days? So Merry Christmas. You can say that for the next 12 days. You can still wear your red and green, and it is still Christmas. I know that we have been focusing on this scripture several times in our services, but I wanted to take one more look at this scripture that Jim read for us this morning, because it contains a lot of good information for us in our faith. But I want to focus this morning especially on verse 19. In verse 19, it says, "Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Now, I can relate to Mary in this because I tend to be a ponderer. I take things and I process and I think and I soak it all in before I respond, react, or do anything with the information that I'm taking in. And Mary was just sitting there soaking up all that had happened. She had taken this long trip from Bethlehem on a donkey while pregnant. And while there, she had her child. And then all these shepherds that she didn't know show up after she's had birth. I'm telling you, if anybody showed up in the emergency room when I was given a baby that I didn't know, that would not have been an ideal thing for me. But all these people showed up right after she gave birth. And the generosity of an innkeeper, she was just soaking it all up and pondering it and treasuring it and thinking about it and processing it. What we ponder, what we think on, what we put in our brains affects everything in our lives. What we think affects how we feel and how we act. So we need to make sure that what we are thinking on, what we are pondering, are things of God. Most of my Christian development happened, probably not surprising to you guys, through music. Our mission and vision here at the church is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ, and one of the core values is excellence in Christian development. I believe I had excellence in Christian development through my music experiences in church. I started in children's choir. If you were here at the 4 o'clock service on Christmas Eve, you were blessed by our children. They led that service and they did an amazing job. So it starts right there with our children. And then in my high school and college and all my adult years, I sang in the choir. All the songs that we sang, all the hymns that we sang, all the anthems, I was learning theology and didn't even know it, because it's rich. Our musical heritage is rich with our faith. And so as I started to grow in my faith, and I would read scripture, and sometimes I started leading Bible studies, I would get so excited when I'm like, I know that. I know that scripture. And I would start singing it. Most of the scriptures that I have memorized are songs that I have sung. And David knew the importance of singing and music. He wrote psalms, songs for worship. That's why music is so important in our worship experience. Music touches us in a way that nothing else can. Yes, we can have the words in our head, but music penetrates to our heart and to our soul. We sing these songs and they just become a part of who we are. There was a study at Johns Hopkins about how music affects the brain. And music is very mathematical, it's very structural, it's very architectural, and it takes a lot of work for the brain to compute all that goes on in music. Music stimulates the whole brain and actually the whole body. It helps us in our creativity, in our emotions, and in our memory. I remember when I was working at hospice for a short time, there was a music therapist who would go in and she would sing familiar songs, many times hymns, to people with Alzheimer's. And for just a moment, their brain kicked into gear and they could sing along. That's the power of music. And that is what we need to be putting in and pondering and using for our growth. Music is also an educational tool. I gotta tell you, I still sing the ABC song when I'm trying to alphabetize something. Anybody else? Come on, confession. And who learned their math by the inchworm song? 2 and 2 are 4. 4 and 4 are 8. 8 and 8 are 16. 16 and 16 are 32. And I sang it on a math test in my head. So during Christmas and Advent, we sing these familiar carols that we all love, and they're so rich with the story we love to hear, the story of the birth of our Savior. These are the things that we need to ponder, just like Mary, and keep in our heart and allow to take up residence in our brains. There are some things that are probably rattling around in your brain that you don't need today. Fill it with the goodness of God, because it affects how we think, how we act, how we are in our everyday life. Now, as I mentioned, today is the second day of Christmas, or maybe I didn't mention that. The first day of Christmas was Christmas Day. Today is the second day of Christmas. There are 12 days of Christmas. Now, all my talk about music, I'm hoping that's triggering a little something in your brain. Today is the second day of Christmas, and my true love gave to me. And? Very good. So you see how music works. It helped you remember that song. We didn't even sing it today. But, you know, this is one of those songs that is either a favorite of the season, or you really can't stand it because it's just so repetitive, right? It's one of those love-hate relationships with a song, but the 12 Days of Christmas is kind of one of my favorites. I love memory challenges. I love those repetitive songs and having to, we would have challenges at Christmas parties, who could remember and who could do it fastest, right? And I'm a little competitive and I would win. So I like this one. You might not, but I'm going to share some things with you today that might help you ponder it in a little different way. This song originated as a teaching tool for children. It was a memory game. And the first recorded documentation of the words is in a book called Mirth Without Mischief in 1780. Now, it became the song that we love and know, or maybe we don't, in 1909 when Frederick Austin put the tune to it, to the words that we now are familiar with. Years ago, there was actually a myth that the 12 days of Christmas was secret Christian code. During the time that Catholicism was under persecution, this became a way for people to communicate and to share and to remember the doctrine of our faith. Now, since that, this myth has been debunked, but I just thought it would be a little bit fun today to ponder our faith in a different way. So I'm going to take this 12 days of Christmas, and we're going to talk about all of the things of our faith that we need to be focusing on, that we need to have within our being to be able to continue to witness to the love that Jesus has for us. So, if you're ready, it starts with our true love. Our true love is God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas season. He gave us the gift of Jesus. We don't need anything more. But he does give us a lot more. Let's take a look. We're going to go backwards, however, so that we don't have to sing the whole song and repeat all the time, but I'm going to start with day 12. Day 12, the 12 drummers drumming is the 12 points of the Apostles' Creed. We said that this morning. Did you know that there were 12 points to the Apostles' Creed? You said it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Number 4, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Number 5, he descended into hell, and on the third day, he rose again. Number 6, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Number 7, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Number 8, I believe in the Holy Spirit. 9, the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints. Now let me take a moment to pause. For those of you that are not familiar with the Apostles' Creed and the Holy Catholic Church, this is a United Methodist Church. When we talk about the Holy Catholic Church, we are talking about the church universal. Catholic means universal. So Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Number 10 is the forgiveness of sins. I hope we believe in the forgiveness of sins. Amen? The resurrection of the body is 11, and 10, 12 is the life everlasting. So 12 drummers drumming the Apostles' Creed. 11 pipers piping. 11. What? 11. 11's not a number you hear in the Bible a lot, but 11. 11 faithful apostles. Jesus had 12 apostles, but one betrayed him. Judas betrayed him, so 11 apostles who were faithful. 10 lords a-leaping. I bet you guessed this one. 10, magic number. 10 commandments. Now, Jesus gave us 2 commandments, and he said that these 2 commandments sum up all the laws and the prophets. But we need to know what some of those laws the prophets gave us. And the first four commandments are about loving God. That was Jesus' first commandment to us, love God. And they are, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. That's how we love God. And then to love our neighbor as ourself was Jesus' second commandment. And the rest of the 10 commandments talk about how we can love our neighbor. We honor our father and our mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against my neighbor, and thou shalt not covet. I shall not envy, I shall not want what my neighbor has. The 10 commandments, 10 lords a-leaping. Next we have 9. Who remembers what 9 is? Anybody at home? Let our online host know if you know the 9. 9 ladies dancing. There we go. 9 ladies dancing. In Galatians 5, 22 through 23, we have what are called the fruit of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. Now, let's talk about fruit for a minute. The fruit, if we are walking with the Holy Spirit, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then there is evidence in our life that we are walking with Christ. And that evidence is called fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And Galatians 5:22 gives us those 9 fruit: love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against these fruit, there is no law. Who can argue with that? Now, let me show you again the power of music. You know how I learned the 9 fruit of the Spirit? In a song. Because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? Youth group, yay! Great youth group song. Music has the power to help us grow in our faith and to teach us these wonderful things. Be fruitful for Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And guess what? All of the fruit are important. You don't get to pick off the tree which one you want. Patience, nobody wants that fruit, right? But that is evidence that you are walking in your faith and with the Holy Spirit. 8 maids a-milking. 8 maids a-milking is 8, and Jesus did a powerful teaching in Matthew 5. It was called the Beatitudes. Did you know that there are 8 Beatitudes? The Beatitudes are ways that Jesus is teaching us to be. How we should be pondering in our heart these concepts. He says that we are to be poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I interpret poor in spirit as letting go of pride, surrendering everything to Jesus Christ. If we are poor in spirit, then we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those who mourn shall be comforted. In this world, we have struggles. And it's okay for us to grieve. It's okay for us to mourn. My heart breaks sometimes for people who feel like they have to put on this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness all the time when their hearts are breaking. But Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, not the weak. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, a humble spirit and a contrite heart. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, be hungry. Crave a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. For you shall be filled. The merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Be kind to one another. Kindness is something our world really needs today, and we don't see a lot of it. We need to be the kindness the world needs to see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart is pondering on those things of God, that our hearts, our souls, our minds, our being are for God. Following him, being a witness, letting our lives shine for him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus came, one of the names that he is given by the prophets is the Prince of Peace. And we are called to share that peace with a world that is so divided and so broken. Let's be peacemakers. Number eight, again, like with the fruit of the Spirit, you can't pick and choose what you want to do, but blessed are the persecuted. Raise your hand in here if you want to be persecuted today. No. But why is it a blessing to be persecuted? For righteousness' sake, when we stand for our faith, when we proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ was born for us and that we are saved by him. That's what we're persecuted for sometimes. And you will be blessed when you stand strong on your faith. I like that better than eight maids of milking, do you? Eight Beatitudes. Seven swans a-swimming. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Back to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we have this fruit, the evidence that we're walking in the Spirit, but the Spirit gives us gifts. It's Christmas. You want some more gifts? The Holy Spirit gives gifts that, you know what? No, better not say that, because, you know, at Christmas, when we unwrap a gift, who's it for? It's for me. The Holy Spirit gifts are for others. The Holy Spirit gives us these gifts to build up the body of Christ. And we see seven of these gifts in Romans 12, 6 through 8. It says here, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, encouragement, giving, leading, compassion. Seven swans a-swimming are the seven gifts that God gives us to build his kingdom here on earth. What gifts have you received from the Holy Spirit that maybe you haven't unwrapped yet? It's still in the box, unopened. And maybe you got it in the mail and it says, do not open till Christmas. Friends, this is the seventh day of Christmas. Open your gifts. Six geese a-laying. In 6 days, something amazing happened according to Scripture. God created all that we have. On day one, he created the heaven and the earth. On day two, the sky and the seas. On day three, land and plants. On day four, the moon, the stars, the sun. On day five, God created fish and birds. He put all the fish swimming in those oceans he created and birds flying in the sky. And on day six, God created land mammals and man. And in Genesis 1:31, it says this, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning on the sixth day. So on the sixth day, we remember that God is the creator of all things. Now we get to the five golden rings, which was always everybody's favorite part to sing, right? Five books of the Torah. Doesn't quite fit to the rhythm as well, but the Pentateuch are the first five books of Scripture. And it is upon these books that the foundation of all Scripture is laid. The Pentateuch are known as the Book of Moses, and everything that follows after them, this gives the foundation for. It shows God's compassion and his covenant love with all his people. It is the first to reveal God's plan for redemption. It points to Jesus Christ. It points to the Messiah, God's sovereign plan for redemption for his creation from the beginning of all time. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we see this relationship between God and his people. God creates this beautiful garden, and Adam and Eve sin against God, and they have to leave. God continues to seek covenant with his people through Abraham. He rescues them again from their disobedience with Moses and the parting of the Red Sea. So we see this relationship of God pursuing his people and the people rejecting their God. That's the foundation. That's been our relationship with God until he sent this beautiful gift, this baby in a manger in Bethlehem, to save us all. Four calling birds tell that story. The four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tell us the story of Jesus and how God loved us so much, he sent this final sacrifice for us so that we could know that he truly loves us. Three French hens. There's two interpretations about the three French hens. One would be the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is three persons, one God in three persons. And God the Son is what we celebrate at Christmas. Or if we take a look at 1 Corinthians 13:13, we see three Christian virtues. In this it says, all things shall pass away, but these three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Ponder on faith, hope, and love. Hold on to those. Let it penetrate deeply into your heart. Two turtle doves. The Old Testament and the New Testament. They're not two separate things. It's one narrative about God. It is God's story. And one narrative, the story of God's love for his people and his plan of reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Finally, we get to a partridge in a pear tree. That partridge in a pear tree is Jesus, who died on a tree for us. God so loved the world that he made the last and final sacrifice to free us from the clutches of sin and death. The baby that we celebrate today is God incarnate, fully human, fully divine, and it was all part of God's plan from the beginning. So now you have a new way to ponder the 12 days of Christmas. You know, I used to struggle. I didn't really understand the song as much as I like to sing it, because who would send a bunch of birds for gifts? Have you ever had to clean up after a bunch of birds? Not the greatest gifts. But now you have a new way to think about these 12 days of Christmas and these 12 gifts that we have from God. Scripture is full of wonderful gifts for us to ponder, to put in our mind, to put in our heart, to put in our soul. And if we have these things, these doctrines of our faith, and we're standing firm on that, there's no room for the negativity of the world. And we have a responsibility, though. As much as I said I am a ponderer, I like to reflect and think and just kind of rest with things sometimes. Friends, it can't stay there. We are called to action. We have a responsibility. So let me go back to the scripture that Jim read us this morning. The shepherds, there are a couple of statements about the shepherds. When the angels had left them, the shepherds hurried off to go and see what the angels had told them about. They hurried. There was an excitement. There was an anticipation. I want to know more. I challenge you this morning to want to know more, to go deeper in your faith this Christian New Year. And then, after they had seen the baby, they returned, glorifying and praising God and telling everyone what they had heard and seen. So after we ponder these things of our faith, after we have experienced Emmanuel, God with us, do we keep it wrapped in a little present and put it away? Or do we open the present and share it with the world? Friends, let us not just ponder, but let us be like the shepherds, and let us go and glorify God and praise God. It is time for us to go and tell the world about Jesus.